Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com. Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's UnitedHealthcare insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, UnitedHealthcare insurance plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about UnitedHealthcare insurance plans at uh1.com.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast, episode 212. I'm your host, Rick Shields. I'm here with co-host Guy. I feel like, well, I'm excited about this podcast. I'll tell you why.
Tell me why.
This podcast has been sponsored.
Yes.
By the One Club in association with the Open. And stay tuned for later on in this podcast because they have supplied an incredible I want to just not even say prizes, plural, for one very, very lucky winner.
My favourite club in the world is the clubhouse. Would you agree?
I would totally agree.
So be in the clubhouse.
That and my seven wood. Seven wood? I haven't got seven wood. My three wood, which I almost never use, but yes.
Old Bluey is your favourite golf club. The clubhouse is your favourite imaginary club.
Correct.
The clubhouse is a place where you can enter at your will if you've listened to every single episode of the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast. However, my second favourite club, Rick, is the One Club. The content on the One Club is second to the Rick Shields Golf Show and the Rick Shields main YouTube channel. However, it's second to only us.
Yeah, no, it's a fantastic club to be part of. We'll tell you in more detail how to sign up, but the top line of the description, if you want to get a little bit sneaky, get into the top line of the description, you could sign up before everyone even knows what the prizes are.
Jokes aside, this prize, there's an element of it that is quite literally money cannot buy.
It's priceless. Nice. However, before we get into that, I feel like this has been a busy week for golf.
Mm.
You know, with the Tour Championship on the DP World Tour.
Yes.
Played at Jumeirah Golf Estate at the Earth Course, which, little insight, we might be visiting very soon. For a big match. Anyway, we've got that lined up. But that was going on. The PGA Tour was kind of like a bit of a secondary event this week. However, with Ludwig Åberg winning, he is going to be, I'm gonna say it now, live on air.
Mm-hmm.
He will be a world number one within the next 3 years.
Yeah.
Maybe even 2 years.
I wouldn't disagree.
His talent is incredible. You've also got a lot of kind of announcements, bits of drama, somewhat excitement, even though it's the off season around LIV and next year moving into LIV.
Mm.
And TGL, we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago. They've had a bit of a disaster.
They have.
Their bespoke facility has fallen down.
Mm.
Now, to be honest, it kind of looks like a tent.
Yes.
And that tent has fallen down. So I don't know if there's been any announcements on delays of what's going to happen, but it's not a great start for the guys at TGL.
Well, we spoke in depth a few weeks ago about TGL. There's a number of people with different ideas of what TGL stands for. I was under the understanding it's Tech Golf League. Tech Golf League. There's some people at Tomorrow Golf League. I think the company that owns it is that Tomorrow Sports. And obviously a lot of people call it Tiger Golf League.
The thing is, the Tomorrow Sports is TMRW.
Yeah.
And it's basically Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy's initials all mixed up.
Either way, there was obviously grand plans for it. And we actually, after our podcast, there was some more images that kind of went online of what inside was going to look like. And one thing I didn't know at the time when we spoke about it, it was a lot of the shots hit off real grass. So it was this kind of tech-infused golf game that was kind of taken quite lightly, but yet there's these new teams and these franchise. As you've correctly said, the actual arena has been essentially destroyed. What will happen now? I don't know.
Well, from what I've heard, there's no delays on when it's going to start. The plan is still for it to start January the 9th, 2024, which with Christmas and everything around the corner, that's not a long time now to reconstruct this facility. Hopefully they do it, because I'm intrigued. But I am borderline excited. There's a few teams that have now been announced since we last spoke about it on the podcast, which I'm not excited about one bit. There's a few teams that I'm like, oh my God, I couldn't support them if, like, there's just no action in there at all. But we'll just see how it all pans out.
Well, this leads us on to a nice topic. It's almost a seamless segue. That we've just been for a Subway. We just had our...
there we go.
We just had it brought to you by... Imagine if we ever get sponsored by Subway.
Well, now we've protested against burgerism.
Yeah, who?
It's all about Subway now.
By the way, I've also, I think this week, got Robert Rock's dodgy chair, so you might see me more than a little bit.
You'll see you're sinking.
Yeah. How good is Robert Rock, though?
I was just going to say...
Is honestly, he your favourite Robert now?
He is up there. Yeah, he's top three.
Huh? Another chair? Wait, I'm going to swap chairs. You carry on.
He's in my top three Roberts.
Okay? Who else would be other Roberts?
Robert Potter.
Rob Potter. Yeah,
Rob
nice.
Pot from back in the day. I also am a big fan of...
Robert McIntyre.
Robbie Williams.
Okay. Fair dues.
Obviously had him on the podcast and on the channel. And then Robert Rock.
Yep, nice.
So I think he's I put him as my third favourite Rob.
That's not bad.
And he's in very esteemed company.
Well, that podcast, that podcast has done very well on audio. It's doing nicely on the video version as well. If you've not listened to that podcast yet, if you missed it for whatever reason, I'd recommend getting in the car on a nice relaxing journey and listening to Robert Rock's insane stories. What a humble and down-to-earth guy he actually really was.
It's one of our longest podcast episodes ever. It really is.
One of my favourites, though.
Yeah, I just wanted to continue to chat about his journey from very humble beginnings and not really having a very clear sight on golf. Like, I feel like he accidentally became a professional golfer. Like, a lot of other professional golfers have been either inspired by family members or maybe even pushed by family members, it would be fair to say. He came from this kind of background where golf wasn't in his DNA. And he stumbled across it, found out that he was okay at it, and really just okay, nothing spectacular, and then just worked his absolute nuts off.
You know what he was? His story in isolation, that initial start, is not unusual whatsoever. And I saw loads of people when I was young playing golf who didn't have golfing parents, who for whatever reason got into golf, started to play, got quite good, hit a lot of golf balls. That's what's similar with Robert, but their story, like many others, probably including myself to a degree, got to a certain standard and that was it, and then kind of fell out of love with it, went on to other jobs, whatever it might be, whereas Robert got better and better and better, and every year or so got a little bit better, a bit better, a bit better, till he went and beat Tiger Woods to win a DP World Tour event and won two events on tour. It was an incredible story.
But on that topic, obviously, Robert spent majority of his time on the DP World, or what was the European Tour. Even he said it in the interview himself, he finds it hard to say DP World Tour. He still sees it as the European Tour. This week was the Tour Championship, the final event on the DP World Tour, where the DP World Champion was announced. And normally it's a very dramatic final day because you've got the Order of Merit playing on the background and you've got the actual DP World champion of the actual event called? If you actually win the actual DP World final.
It's not the DP World Tour Champion.
But then so what's the Order of Merit section and what did Nikolai win?
Well, the Order of Merit is the DP World Tour Champion, I think. And then the championship winner. That was the Tour Championship winner.
Right, yeah. So there's effectively every year, majority of the time, there's two winners. Sometimes, very rarely, the winner of the Tour Championship...
So it's the Race to Dubai title.
That's it. Race to Dubai title also is the same winner as the Tour Championship winner, which is rare. You've got that one guy holding both trophies. That's quite rare. Often it's two golfers. One's picked up the actual Race to Dubai final, and then one's also picked up the Tour Championship. This year, the Race to Dubai was actually won pre-last event. Rory McIlroy won it for the fifth time.
Well, and not only that, his performances that helped him to win that very much were co-sanctioned events. So obviously he won the Scottish Open, which is a PGA Tour and DP World Tour co-sanctioned event. I'm not sure the exact number, but he's not played many.
He won the Desert Classic at the start
of the
year.
Which is a big event, to be fair.
He did incredible in the majors, which again ranks you for the Race to Dubai.
Correct.
He's not particularly turning up to the British Masters and doing well.
And that's the thing, and I think we wanted to... We had a little... Again, the reason I was talking about Subway, we went to Subway before. We had
Subway segue went off.
We had a lovely 6-inch Subway each, and we also had six... Hash browns as well. Went down a treat, and we were kind of chatting. We didn't talk too much before we ruined it for the podcast. We'll see a lot of the minute. There's a lot of people, a lot of organisations trying to make golf cooler and change the product, which... To some degree, I've got nothing against. You know, there's been this Netflix Cup, which you may or may come on to. I didn't really watch it. Tried to watch it when it wasn't live afterwards, and I couldn't get it to work on my TV, bizarrely. Obviously, we've got the TGL. We've had Live Golf. We've got these new real highlighted events on the PGA Tour. There's so much around making golf better for the kind of consumer, and there's obviously a lot of money involved, et cetera, et cetera. But for me, I think fundamentally, it's only my opinion. Obviously, it's kind of worthless to a lot of people, obviously, but... I think where golf is going wrong in the professional circuit anyway, there's so much going on and it's hard to know what matters, what doesn't matter. If you look at something like F1 or you've got the Premier League, again, there's flaws to most professional sports, I know. But most matches or games or races, they mean something, don't they? With golf at the moment, this week, like you said, we had the DP World Tour Championship, which Rory won with the Order of Merit, but hardly even played on the DP World Tour and didn't win that event. Without the PGA Tour.
I want to talk about Rory's stats a little bit, actually.
Okay.
So I've just pulled up here his... I've lost it again now. Just give me...
He's played 10 tournaments this year.
Yeah. But if you actually look at the tournaments, though, they're not... obviously, they're qualifying events. So he won the Dubai Desert Classic in January. Mm-hmm. Then next qualifying event he played in was the Dell Technology Match Play event.
Right.
Okay. In March. He then played in the Masters. He then played in the USPGA Championship in May. US Open, did well, came second. He won the Scottish Open.
Yep, he
played in the Open, came sixth. He came 16th in the Irish Open. He came seventh in the BMW PGA Championship. And he came 22nd in the DP World Tour Championship. Mm-hmm. So what's that? Did you say 10? Yeah, 10 events, 10 qualifying events. And he's been crowned the kind of effectively the European Tour best player.
Well, and that's it. By the rules, he's won it.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah. No, and he has.
He has. But then if you look at like Adrian Morenc, for example, I'm going to pull him up now. So his wins and results for this year, he has played a lot more events. Bear with me. I'm trying to find this. And he has had some really good events. He's had some obviously win tied fourth. He's had some really good events there. Fifth, third.
How many events roughly?
Let me have a quick look.
It's got to be 20 plus. Bear with me.
24. He made 19 cuts, 3 firsts and a third, and then he got got 3 within 4th to 10th.
Any majors?
No.
So it's the majors that play a massive part in...
Oh, did he play in majors? He played in majors.
Did he play in majors this year?
Yeah, pull that up. Bear with me. It's not the easiest website, the European Tour.
DP World Tour.
Bear with me. Let's have a look. So he came 23rd in the Open, Ferdus, 66th the US Open, 40th in the USPGA, and 60th in the Masters.
So he played in all four majors?
Yes, he only made the cut in 2, I believe. Yeah.
It's very, very interesting. And again, I don't know what the takeaway is here. It felt a bit like it was a fraction flat on Sunday, on the final day, because he didn't have that drama of like... You know, where two players don't have to be winning the event, but they're still in for this kind of Race to Dubai final.
I think there's almost two arguments, though. So if you look at the PGA Tour and the Tour Championship, they work in a way that some people love, some people hate, where whoever wins that final Tour Championship essentially has won the Order of Merit for the year. And that makes sense from a commercial product because you have to watch the last event to see who wins it. Some people aren't fans of the way it starts and whatever. I get that. Fair enough. Victor Hovland won it this year and great. But With the DP World Tour, you've got the fact that Rory has hardly played any actual proper DP World Tour events, but yet still won it again. Well, kind of fair enough, that's the rules. But is it right? Is it good for the DP World Tour? This week, then, we also had the PGA Tour with these kind of weird events off-season where no one's really that bothered, but Ludvig Åberg won. So that's great for us as Europeans, and it's great for him. He's young, I think he's 24 years old, to get a PGA Tour win. but then it's not really a proper, proper high profile event. You've then obviously got Live, and I think it feels difficult now to understand, well, what are the important events? We've got the four majors, we've got some other events that are big and these new highlighted events, but it's not easy to consume as a golfer. You know, is the DP World Tour now the second tour? Obviously the top, was it the top 10 guys or top 20 guys got PGA Tour cards? So that's even like proving to the DP World Tour, the second tour, if you like.
We're almost getting pulled away from their tour.
Well, exactly. And that's what's in it for the PGA Tour. They're obviously investing money into the DP World Tour, but getting guaranteed that the DP World Tour's best players are going to eventually get onto the PGA Tour. So the PGA Tour's getting fresh new talent all the time. So it's kind of like, well, it doesn't feel like there's much meaning to the season. Should there just be, obviously, the top tour? I know there's still going to be Live in the PGA Tour, but let's just say the PGA Tour has the four majors that people play in. There's then 12 or 14 events. That's the main tour. There's almost an event every month to get, you know, to get excited for. And then you've got the DP World Tour sits below it, potentially. I don't know. I think that's where Live have got it right, having these set events. But I don't know. I'm just confused by it.
I would love to see, If I was the king of golf, professional golf, okay?
Yeah.
I would love to see a world tour.
Mm-hmm.
Just one very clear tour. And you need feeder tours, I get that. But as in, the ultimate is this one world tour. And within that, you've got your four majors.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have, at the end of it, an actual legitimate order of merit. You've got, let's say it's 12 events through the year, one a month, but you know, guarantee the best players are playing in those events.
Mm-hmm.
And it travels the world. It has a US swing. It has a UK Europe swing. It goes out to the Middle East. It goes down to Australia. You know, you cover all four corners of the world, and you know that 120 of the best golfers in the world are going to be there. And then at the end of it, you're going to get guys who lose World Tour rankings.
Yeah.
And then the tour underneath that tour, I mean, it could be a DP World and it could still be a PGA Tour, something similar that stayed more either US or European, that fed into that World Tour. And you didn't need to have Live and you didn't need to have all these other things, because every single week you're guaranteed the best players in the world are going to be turning up.
I love it. This as well is what leads me on to saying, you know, again, I know TGL, the purpose and Liv's purpose is to make golf maybe cooler and appeal to different people. And that's fine. I've nothing against that to a degree. But does golf seem to be not that exciting, often because the tournaments to some degree feel worthless? If there was only 12 events and then the four majors, does it actually work that 72 hole stroke play is actually okay? You know, two rounds cut, two rounds. Do we have to be looking at to reinvent the wheel? Is it the actual tournaments and the spacing that's wrong, as opposed to the format that people are playing?
Well, yeah, because it's every single week. I mean, they were even semi-joking on the broadcast yesterday that as soon as the final round had been played and it was like, right, that's the end of the season, everyone, you know, thanks so much. And even like the commentator saying, and we start again next week in Australia. And you're like, bloody hell, guys. Like, you're straight back into it. It's a full wraparound year. You're straight back into the first official DP World Tour event of the year starting next week in Australia. It's like, God, that's a lot. I think it's Australia. I'm pretty confident it is. It's like, there's a lot of things going on where I love this break period. Like, I do feel like what I love this off season. Mm-hmm. I think golfers deserve an off season between kind of December and January, where we don't see those golfers and they train and they practice and get ready.
And as a fan, it leaves you wanting more.
Of course it does. And that's where all your manufacturers change over. And that's where, you know, such a body goes from Adidas to Nike or whatever it may be. Like, you love those little storylines. And you might see a few clips on Instagram where a couple of players are having a bit of a cash game at the local club or whatever it may be. And it gives them loads of time to film YouTube videos with us. But then, you know, you come back in January and it's a very clear, defined schedule. And you know it's going to be in America. You know it's going to follow the sun. It's going to basically chase the sun for a period of time. And you just know the best players in the world are at those events. You know where I feel a bit sorry for? And listen, the corporations have got loads of money, but like, some of these big headline sponsors of these events that have been going for years are just getting lost.
Mm.
Like the RSM Classic this weekend that Åberg won. They must be thinking, hold on, we're pumping a lot of money into this. And are we getting the field that we deserve?
Mm.
Probably not. You know, so I think there's sides of that. Like, is the sponsorship money either going to be more competitive, or are some companies just going to go, you know what, this isn't for me anymore. I'm not bothered about sponsoring a golf event if, you know, I'm spending tens of millions on sponsoring this event and nobody of high quality is turning up.
I think for me, and again, there's things that are wrong with all sports, but something like the Premier League, they've got a lot of things maybe right, a lot of things wrong. But one thing they have got right is there's 38 games for each team. No, every game is as important as the next to the last, because they're all worth obviously 3 points or a point, or they don't get any points. It often feels like it's more important towards the end of the season, but actually it's not. It's the same throughout the season. And it's quite kind of clear. You do well, you can win the league. You do badly, you can get relegated to the league below the championship. Teams in the championship can come up. It is quite simple, you know, when the teams are playing. And I think that's one thing, again, looking at how Liv's trying to go with it, they've kind of got some elements of it right. But I think as a viewer, as a fan, you need to have this more clear diary. You know that every tournament is really important. And that's why the majors have got it so right. You know, the majors, again, are just four rounds of stroke play. But I get so excited for those four major championships because they mean so much. Every event can't mean that much. Always going to have those four majors on a real, like, pillar. That they're the top, top, top pinnacle. But there could be something else, couldn't there, where these other events are, you know, there's fewer of them, but they're so much bad. As a golf fan, I'd love only one event every 3 weeks, but it means something.
Yeah, correct.
Then every week that I don't even care.
I mean, what's fascinating at the moment, there's been a few little eagle-eyed social media followers noticing that Brooks Koepka has been quite vocal around his want for the schedule to be released of LIV 2024, because there's, as far as he's aware, he's not had a defined schedule yet for 2024.
Well, that was something I was going to come on to. So it's been, like you said, it's been posted online that LIV Golf are trying to create some dialogue, some interest, obviously, in the league. So they're posting on their social media accounts a lot. And there's two posts this last week they've posted where, you're right, Brooks has come back with bit feisty, bit of zest. The first post was, it was like, we might put it up on the screen if you're watching the video podcast. It was a pretend like list of DMs from tour pros, and it was like asking people, what would you rather do? And obviously his response was the DM with the schedule for next year would be nice.
Wow.
That's just quite bold. And they did another post.
You think you'd have someone to text, wouldn't you?
Well, you'd think so. And then there was another, apparently that comment's been deleted, I believe, now. There was another post where they were asking about what shoes are the best on course or whatever from people who've played, obviously, in live events. And he again responded with, we don't know what course, we haven't seen the schedule. So saying, I wouldn't know what shoes to pack, for example, I don't know what the courses are going to be. Is this great marketing by Liv, or is this actually true? Is Brooks angry?
I don't think it's marketing. I'd be impressed if it was. I mean, we're talking about it right now, but I'd be impressed if someone had thought, let's not give the schedules, let's get the players really angry, and then they're going to comment and make loads of drama.
But is he angry, or is it just a play to get people to talk about Liv?
Possibly. And then the schedule comes out next week.
Maybe.
And he's like, finally, the schedule's come out. I don't know. I suppose it's just a lot of logistics. Unlike the PGA Tour, who have been to the same venues for the same years for decades, some of the events, Liv each time is like, it's still only third year. Mm. So they're probably like going, right, well, what works at that event? Or can we move it to another venue? Can we do, you know, they're probably trying to move the venues around a little bit because it's still in its infancy.
I think as well on that, there's going to be a lot of golf courses that maybe got approached by Liv who were quite dubious about having an event or not sure about how the potential backlash. I suppose now Liv themselves have a case study of events, don't they? That they can showcase to potential venues and say, look, this is how much we paid a venue. This was potentially their increase in footfall weeks and months afterwards. This is how much money the golf course took on the day from whatever they sold or whatever. So I suppose they've got a stronger case to go to these courses now. But yeah, I'm excited to see how that looks for next year. Do you think there's any more appetite from yourself? Are you going to be kind of keeping an eye on the off-season, on the transfers? Is that something you'd look at? Or
I just don't know if I'm fully aware of how it's all operating still. I think what's quite interesting with... So there's been a few social media posts, like Richard Bland did a video. His excitement,
yeah,
believe it or not, guy, about signing for the Cleeks GC again,
yeah,
with Martin Kaymer.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of
he was
comments.
Ecstatic, wasn't he?
It was ridiculous how ecstatic he was.
I'll do my own version. I am really happy to be doing the Rick Shields podcast today. I really like it. It's good. And looking forward to the next few podcasts. Thanks to Rick for re-signing me.
Thank you.
That was essentially, in a nutshell, what Richard Brand was like.
It was a little bit like a hostage situation. Yeah. And it wasn't the best in the world. I mean, that is the challenge sometimes now with allowing players to be a little bit more savvy on social media. If some players do it really bloody
correct.
Good.
Max Homer.
Ian Poulter, Max Homer, Bryson DeChambeau, Eddie Pepperell. These guys know how to social media. There's a few other people who don't know how to social media.
But do you not think, and again, this isn't bashing on Liv, because Liv have done that. Colin Murray recorded that horrendous post.
Oh, exactly. It was horrendous.
When he signed up for the TGL team and he put it on par, if not above, playing the Ryder Cup. Why do these people and these agencies, because let's be honest, I know what you're saying, but it's not. I don't think that's as simple as Richard Bland's on a post and chucked it on. There'll be somebody behind telling him what to do or advising him. Why are people still not getting it in this day and age? It's the year 2023. We know what good content looks like and what bad content looks like, what content can drive conversation, etc. And I think sometimes Liv do things knowing it might not be that cool, but it's going to get people talking. I really do. But that Richard Bland post and the Morikawa one in equal measure was absolute tripe. How is it not getting vetted?
It is, but it might just be getting vetted by the people who are maybe not as quite as savvy as they've made out to be. Let's be honest. We've had situations where we've worked with outside agents, we'll not name any names, and we've been on a shoot, and then we get the edit back, and this is like off-brand or whatever, and it's like, no, that's not our style. They just miss the style, don't they, sometimes?
You think, though, if somebody had a book of best practices who has looked at what Liv has done well and what they've not done well, and you then, with Colin Morikawa, saying, right now, you're announcing you're signing with LAGC he's playing for, with whatever. The one thing we are not going to do in this notebook, point number one, do not compare this to the Ryder Cup, please.
I've
learned that off Taylor Gooch.
But then don't forget as well, going back to even what you're saying, is it done for views?
Maybe.
Are they almost ripping up the rule book and going, you know what? If we want people talking about this, we have to say something that catches their attention.
And that's the thing, and that's something that I think is the slightly off topic here, but if you ever look on real short form content platforms like TikTok or Instagram Reels, some of the content out there now is so bad, but gets so many views because it's so bad.
Yeah.
And I got sucked into watching one the other day, and this guy in his car, and he was parked at a train station, and a policeman came up to him saying, what are you doing parked here? And he's like, waiting for a friend. He said, you can't park here. Went, well, why? He said, oh, what are you doing? You need to know what you're doing. What's your name? And it went this back and forth, went back for a few minutes. Like, that's a really rubbish policeman. It ended up, it was all fake. This person, they create these scenarios, people watch it. I was like, how rubbish is that?
Did you see the woman who had the tattoo on her head?
No.
So she had her boyfriend's name tattooed across her forehead.
Wow.
She had Kevin tattooed across her forehead, right? And she posted it online, and loads, you can imagine the amount of people that spoke about it. It was on news articles. It was on radio shows. I think it even made the actual news, right?
Yeah.
A week later, she came out and did a video and basically was rubbing it off, saying it was makeup. And she did it to make a point of that she regrets having her tattoos. If you're young and thinking about getting a tattoo, consider. So she basically, it was all a publicity stunt. But would that have got so much press if it wasn't as bold as what it was?
That's a good point.
So I think sometimes, like I say, I'd like to think some brands, media agencies, etc., aren't as daft to think of comparing TGL with Ryder Cup, or let's put Richard Brand that video out. But maybe, just maybe, they're thinking on a very different level.
Am I right in thinking you're going to do a podcast naked when you release merch?
I might put a head cover on my on Little Ricky.
Wow. Which people won't see anyway. So, speaking of people getting the name tattooed on their head, if there was one golfer ever who you had to get their name tattooed on your head, who would that be?
Vijaygus.
Oh, wow. I hope it was to be a simple. I thought you were going to say Tiger Woods. I could lead on some Tiger Woods story. I'll ask you one more time, Rick. Let's edit this, Matt. Rick, if you get anyone tattooed on your on your head, what name of the golfer would it be? That wasn't very smooth.
It's quite obvious.
Yeah.
It would be Tiger Woods.
Really? I thought you'd say Camila Vargas. Yeah, so Tiger Woods is back, baby. It's official. He's going to be teeing up his event, the Hero World Challenge, the 30th of November. His first competitive golf. First time we will see him on the golf course since the Masters. Are you excited? Is he going to do well? What's the plan? Who's going to caddy? Go on.
I've got a real confession. Okay.
Yeah.
The last time I saw Tiger Woods in the flesh was Sunday. No, not Sunday. Saturday of the Masters. Mm-hmm. He pulled out on Sunday. Saturday of the Masters. Walking.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
On the scent hole. And I saw a man that was broken.
Yep.
I saw a man struggling down a very, very hilly 10th hole and struggling around the golf course and kind of pulled out the final day because of injuries. This time, guy, for the first time ever.
Yep.
This Tiger comeback isn't exciting me.
Wow. Blasphemy. And why is that?
I don't know. I feel like we've seen it. I feel like we've been there and we've done that and I've shed too many tears. Do you get what I mean? It's like if it feels like a breakup. It feels like, you know, how many times can I get back together with that woman even though I've been married 10 years and been with my wife 17? But like, hypothetically, it's like, what? I don't know. I'm maybe for the first time as well, guy, I'm managing my own expectations.
No, I think that's right.
I feel like this time, I don't know what it is. I've just felt a bit different. I saw all the news break this week. And we even spoke about it a few weeks ago. The Hero Challenge, his own event in Bahamas, he had left a space free. And there was lots of rumours, is that the Tiger space? And it obviously has, you know, it wasn't as if it was going to be super exciting. We knew it was almost going to come. And he has now announced he's going to play in it. I'm just not sure. I think I'm managing my own expectations because I don't want to get too excited yet.
Yeah, no, I think I can definitely resonate with a lot of what you're saying.
I turn up in my red shirt,
correct,
and my Tiger hat when he's played, when is it? Is it a few weeks down the line?
Yeah, so it's 10 days time.
All right, great. I'm out there actually. Not in Bahamas, but I'm out in America.
Who bothered a minute ago? Kind of monster. Tiger hat on.
I don't know. I'm managing my own expectations.
No, I agree. And I think, well, I agree to an extent. I agree that we've had many a time now where Tiger's come back and then he's, you know, he's done well, he's not done so well, and he's obviously unfortunately been injured again. For me, I'm looking at it slightly differently in a sense that there's two things now. I think I really want to, because it sounds horrible to say and it's the truth, it won't be that long, really, in the grand scheme of things until he's retired from professional golf. Let's be honest. Certainly that top level of professional golf. Maybe that kind of almost is where he's at now, really. So that's the one thing. Anytime we can see Tiger Woods playing golf, and anytime we can see him on a Sunday in his Sunday Red, I think we just have to just cherish every time, because it's not going to be many more. And I think for me, I really realised that at the Open, when he walked over the Silken Bridge, and to me, it almost felt like that was the time he was almost retiring, but not retiring. It felt like that was symbolic, and I was happy to be there.
Well, you literally, as soon as it happened, you ploughed your head into my shoulder and blubbed like a little baby for a good few hours.
Of course. And ultimately, I think we have to be, realistic about it. That's what's going to happen in the not too distant future. So there's that thing, I think, to think about. And also another thing as well with Tiger Woods. He's currently tied with Sam Snead on 82 PGA Tour wins, which is obviously the top. There's nobody else with more. He only, and I use that term only very loosely, has to win one more to be the undisputed, to win the most PGA Tour events ever in history and probably ever will, let's be honest. I think he's got that fighting in to grind out one more.
If the question is, will he win? My answer is yes. Mm. My answer is yes. He will win events. No, a plural.
So you know what I'm going to say now? I'm going to be bold with this.
Don't.
No, hear me out.
Guy.
Okay.
Don't, because it's going to happen.
No, I want it to happen.
But they're going to take your soundbite. If you say anything other than he's going to win, they're going to take your soundbite and it's going to be used all across social media. And you're going to be like a right fool. Just say he's going to win.
He's going to win.
Okay. Like that Richard Bland video.
Truthfully, I at the moment, I'm saying that I can't see it only because where he's been to. Now, I'm saying that preemptively of this event. If he comes back in 10 days' time, and he's knocking flags out, he's hitting it nice off the tees, holding putts, and he wins that event, or he even plays well, then of course I'd be like, you're going to win five more, you're going to win another major, you're going to win another Masters, whatever. But going off what he's been through, I would find it, and it's not even a case of doubting his ability, because obviously you can't doubt Tiger Woods' ability. It's doubting that as much as I see Tiger Woods as some almost mythical person, he's a human. I always feel silly saying that. First, because obviously he's a human, but secondly, he almost doesn't seem human. But he's a human. There's only so much pain his body can go through. And I honestly believe we probably don't realise how amazing it is that he's even just walking, let alone playing golf, and let alone competitively, and let alone winning events.
I have heard rumours, though, he's in less pain than he's been for a long time.
Brilliant.
Like, imagine if he came back and he's pain-free.
Oh, then if that's the case, he could win five events. Like, certainly at courses where it's flatter and he's been there before. I mean, who knows? He could come back and win the next Open at St. Andrews. I wouldn't be surprised. But
going back to your question, I think you started but didn't finish. Who's going to caddy for him?
Yes.
So, obviously, Joe LaCava is now on Keegan Bradley's
bad. So, has he officially left? I kind of missed this.
Not Keegan Bradley. Oh, bloody hell, Catboy.
Yeah, all my days. That's going to really annoy me. Patrick Cantlay,
Catboy. Joe LaCava, who's famously been on Tiger's back for a very long time now, probably as long time, if not longer, than Steve Williams was on Tiger's back for, potentially. I don't know the maths perfectly. He now is, obviously, he wasn't caddying for Tiger. He's now caddying for Patrick Cantlay. Does he just come straight back? Does he go straight right? See you, Patrick. I'm back with Tiger.
Jumped ship. Oh, not jumped ship, but I think from what I'm seeing is that Tiger's looking for a new caddy. I don't know if that is...
So Tiger's actively looking
apparently,
for a new caddy.
Apparently people are saying they don't
know... Is there an advert out?
Yeah. I got the text. Did I get the text? I turned it down. I can't make it. Got the babies look after.
Oh.
Love to, Tiger. Carry your own bag.
I didn't get a text.
No, I might not. I think he's got your old number. The one definitely had that phone for a while, actually.
I've had his number since I was 11.
Yeah, he got your one when you were 10. I don't know. We probably should have checked up on this more beforehand, but I know that there's just talks of who's going to caddy, which I then interpreted as he obviously needs one because Joey LaCava's left. I don't know.
I want Steve Williams back on the bag.
Imagine. Wow.
I think this is my predictions. It's either going to be Steve Williams, okay. Steve Brotherhood, who's been on the channel a few times.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Or Will Davidson.
Okay.
So two caddies that have been on the channel before.
Yeah.
Or his old caddy that he won.
Or his son Charlie that's heavily been rumoured.
Maybe for the Hero Challenge, but not after that.
He's in school. Anyway. Someone's went to school, Rick. But yeah, who knows?
Maybe.
Who knows?
You know what? Connecting the dots. And why would he not have this guy in his bag? The only guy that beat him, hands down.
Robert Rock.
Do you think?
Bit of a coach slash caddy.
Maybe heard him on last week's podcast and went,
Rocky?
I'm going to give Rocky a bell.
Rocky!
I've not spoken to him since he beat me in Abu Dhabi in 2012. It's time. Get on the bag, Rocky. We're going free.
You know what? Just a slight tangent on that. You know what I was thinking about the other day about that podcast? And this is obviously, when you think about this, this just shows a level of Tiger that Robert Rock was a tour professional for 20 years, right? Won twice on tour. Arguably his greatest accomplishment, the one thing he'll, I'm sure, take to the grave, tell his grandkids and his grandkids' grandkids will relay the story to their friends, is that he beat Tiger Woods in a group to win an event. Or even just beat Tiger Woods, doesn't matter what it was to win, to beat Tiger Woods. How these golfers like Robert, even though they want to beat him when they play with him and did beat him, that pedestal they put Tiger on.
Oh.
Like there's not many athletes in sport where the competitors of said athlete treat them with such a level of respect and just beating them is almost the accomplishment of the career. Do you know what I mean?
Well, don't forget what Robert said going into that final round. He was just like, it's almost inevitable Tiger's going to win this. It was almost like, I'm just going to go and learn as much as I can.
But how good do you have to be to get to that level? Let's just say, for example, I don't know. I know it's silly. Tony Finau, first golfer I think of randomly, or Tommy Fleetwood, friend of the channel, great guys, good career, solid golfers. Now, there's not many like good level golfers who were on tour, whose story they would take to the grave and grandkids would be, I beat Tommy Fleetwood. And that's no disrespect to Tommy.
No.
Like, even Rory to a degree, unless he was like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, even Robert beat Tiger and Rory, but Rory comes so down in that.
That's what I mean, because...
And it's not as if he beat Tiger and Tiger was middle of the pack.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's the, like, you, because let's say for argument's sake, I can't think of a time now, but Louis Oosthuizen beat Tiger a couple of times was he playing in that Open? Anyway, he would have won it, beat him. But it's not like he's going head to head down the stretch.
That's the difference in it.
The only other player is Yang.
Wai Yang,
who beat Tiger in that major when he literally outplayed him all the way through that last 18 holes, which was pretty special.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, well, that leads me very nicely. Speaking of the Open, this week's podcast, as we said at the start, is sponsored. We don't have to do many sponsored podcasts. You know, when it's a sponsored one, it's the real deal. It's a special one. And we have arguably, I've said this at the start, truthfully, one of the biggest and best money can't buy prizes, I think, ever, that we've ever done on the channel. We need to massively thank the R&A, the Open, the One Club for supporting this prize. They weirdly like what we do, which is bizarre.
Of course they do.
And the One Club is it's completely free to join, and it's a great place to access more kind of deep dive in some amazing content lives on the R&A and the Open.
It's exclusive and behind the scenes content.
Yes.
From yours and mine's favourite major tournament.
Yes.
Now, this prize that's been up for grabs, you need to apply by the link in the description below.
It's free.
Totally free, to free. All you got to do is sign up to the One Club, free to do. And one winner plus a friend slash guest, just in case you've not got a friend, you can bring a guest.
Yes.
Will win the following. Are you ready for this?
Talk to me.
Okay. This is... Okay. Can't be honest. I'm going to change the order, guy.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Okay.
Okay. Where are we going to go?
You know what I'm going to do here?
Right.
Tickets for Championship Saturday to the Open, 20th of July, 2024.
So that is for the lucky winner and the friend slash guest for Saturday of the Open. I'm going to one-up you, Rick.
Go for it.
The Claret Jug might be lost on the Saturday, but my God, it's not won on the Saturday. It gets won on the Sunday, okay? So my one-up to you, there's not one. There's two tickets for the winner and the guest slash friend. for the championship, the Open Championship, Sunday, the 21st of July, 2024, at Royal Troon.
Oh, my God.
Can I now give you my next trump, and then you can try and top trump me?
Go for it, if you can.
Okay. Well, it's all well and good going to the Open for those days, but we need to get our head down somewhere.
You're going
for Saturday, Sunday. Going to stay over Sunday night. Well, I'm going to offer them.
Or the Open is.
The Open, with my blessing. I've okayed this, Rick. With my blessing, the Open and the One Club are going to offer 3 nights accommodation from Friday, the 19th of July, through to Monday, the 22nd of July. So you've got your golf on Saturday. You've got your golf on Sunday. You see Tiger Woods lift the claret jug. You go back to your room. You have a little tipple of Guinness.
Brandy.
A little brandy. There you go. I'm out. That's all I can offer, Rick.
But the thing is, okay, that's cute.
Okay.
I mean, that's pretty, pretty special.
That is a money could buy experience, I would say, so far.
That is pretty special. Tickets to the Open, Saturday, Sunday, plus accommodation, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But what's the real purpose of having accommodation on Sunday? Yes, you might have a couple of drinks.
Brandies?
You might go to the after party with Tiger Woods and drink out the claret jug. That, by the way, terms and conditions, that does not apply. But what would really, really, really make things special?
Okay.
Is if on the Monday, the 22nd of July, 2024, if you and your guest/friend...
Yeah.
Went back to Royal Troon.
Okay. What, pick up the merch that you'd not collected, that you'd left, or what?
You could do a bit of that.
Yep.
But more importantly, you could have a tee time. And you could tee it up and play the exact championship course in championship conditions, Sunday pins, the lot that you've just witnessed on the Sunday before. You could be teeing it up with a friend/guest at Royal Troon on Monday, the 22nd of July, the day after the 152nd Open Championship.
And that is literally a money cannot buy. You could rock up, hear me out. You could rock up to the first tee of Royal Troon on Monday, 22nd of July, 2024. You could have a briefcase, right? In that briefcase would be 50 grand, okay? You could say to the pro, there's 50 grand, I want a tee time. What would he say to you, Rick?
I'm sorry, Mr. Charnock.
Yeah.
We are fully booked today with patrons and guests of the Open exclusively.
Next thing, okay, well, I'm here with 50 grand in my cash, in my briefcase. Little Jimmy and his friend/guest stroll past me, shoelaces undone, hats on backwards, walks the pro shop. Next thing, they're walking onto the tee. Why is that?
Because they listen to the greatest podcast in the world, and they were lucky enough to be picked from random to win a money cannot buy. All you guys have got to do, listening, watching, click the link down below, apply to join the One Club. It's completely free. And when I say apply, there's no waiting list. There's no stuffy meeting that you need to go to. There's not even a cover letter you need to apply. You get in free.
Yes, the website, if you're driving, again, link in the podcast description, the video version, the pinned comment, it'll be there. But if you just want to know it off the top of your head, it's theopen.com. That's so far so good. Can't really go wrong with that. /Rick, what's that thing called? The line?
Dash.
Rick-guy-giveaway. Easy.
Easy. For tickets for Saturday, Sunday of the Open next year, plus accommodation, plus a tea time at Royal Troon the day after the Open. Get involved. Thanks very much to the One Club in association with the Open for supporting the podcast as always. And I know you and me, we might be, and I'm going to put this as a big, 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 big caveat. We might be there on that Monday, either playing as well, and possibly, just possibly, we do not want to make any promises, we might possibly play in the group with you too.
Basically, I don't want to commit to that. in case Tiger wins and we have 25 brandies, in which case we won't be playing golf. No, but we might be there, we might not.
We've just got some other commitments we need to clear up, but otherwise we will be there on the day.
We can't spend a lot of time playing golf.
We'll be there on the day.
Yeah.
Either way, we're playing the open course as well the day after.
Oh, great. Okay.
And I think it's going to be a very, very special open, as every single open is. Royal Troon is a course I've not played yet. I'm excited to play it. I think we're going to certainly do some filming at Royal Troon before the Open to get everybody's juices flowing for the 152nd Open Championship at Royal Troon.
Yes. We have got five-a-side football soon. Yes. So we need to wrap this up because that is more important than the podcast. You know that. I know that. Listeners know that.
Quick fire questions.
Correct. Mike Carr has said, are single-length irons worth trying?
They're worth trying, but they're definitely dying. They're not as fashionable anymore, are they?
No. I think if you're new to golf, it makes sense.
Yeah.
If you've played with not a variable length irons, a bit weird. Duncan, I'm sorry, I can't see his surname, Duncan, but Duncan has said, why does Rick never review Titleist drivers?
That is blasphemy. Blasphemy.
Blasphemy.
I have done. I did do. I will do. We actually just never received the Titleist drivers.
I think we just missed out on that one for some random reason.
Yeah, but it was in this transitional period where we weren't quite sure what we were doing reviews. We hadn't quite set up Hit Channel. It's definitely something we are going to be looking at testing. The good thing with Titleist, drivers for Titleist last quite a bit long as well.
Yes.
They don't particularly go out of fashion super quick. They normally have a two-year release schedule.
I know that Titleist have some wedges coming out in the new year. Can't say too much on that, but I'm sure you can work out what they might be.
It rhymes with bokeh. SM, whatever the next number is.
Ben. Round to Ben. So, you do the math. I'm sure they'll be good. We could review them now, really. We're going to be good, aren't they? Let's be honest.
Bokey SM Bens are really good.
That's the wish.com version. David Michael Hood, it's very official, he's got a full name, has said, when is Rick going to go on I'm a Celebrity? It would be funny seeing him on there. Would you go on I'm a Celebrity?
We had this conversation last night with my wife. And obviously I'm a Celebrity. If you're a listener outside of the UK, it's a TV show where they go to Australia. They have 12 or so celebrities of all different walks of life, whether it's ex-musicians, politicians, actors, actresses, sports people. And more recently, there's been this kind of trend of, let's stick a token social media person in
Correct.
There to try and stay cool and hip with the kids.
Yes.
There is a YouTuber in there this time that I honestly looked at my wife and went, I mean, I live in YouTube and I don't know who this lady is. I'm sorry, Nella Rose, I believe she's called. She's not released a video for 2 years on YouTube.
Slacking.
Sounds like our Hit Channel. joking, that's going to come back soon. And I looked at subscribers and I've actually got more subscribers than...
Well, I should be in then.
Would I do it?
You would do it 100%.
Should I do it?
Do you ask? Have you been asked? Have you turned it down yet?
No, I've never been asked.
You would be a very strange campmate, in a sense of, hear me out. I'm going to make a joke then, I won't make that. But because to people that... Because they'd be craving the crocodile's penis and stuff, no, that's a joke. Because to people that watch the channel that know who you are would literally be like, oh my God, that's Rick Shields. I can't believe he's doing the jungle. To people that don't play golf, they'd be like, who's that? He's a YouTuber. What? A YouTuber? What's that?
He's
and then
say,
like, what videos
YouTuber?
Does he do? Golf. Oh, for Christ's sake. Like, so you'd be so polarizing.
And the other thing as well, I was thinking about, what would it be like in the show? I'm quite fortunate that I'm not particularly too scared of many things. I'm not particularly scared of heights. I'm not particularly scared of water, or not really massively scared of bugs and
out
stuff.
Out of bounds left.
Through chipping.
Yeah. Bush took a trial, Rick. You've got to eat a crocodile cock. Oh, that's fine. I'll have that now. I'll have dessert as well. Or you've got to do a little simple bump and run 20 foot. No!
You've got a tight lie over a bunker. I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. I think I'd have a couple of issues.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd be very good with the other campmates.
Really?
Yeah, I think I would put a persona on, but deep down I'd really struggle because I think that a lot of them would do my head in.
Yeah, fair enough.
And I would really struggle with the eating challenges.
Really?
Yeah,
fair enough.
Yeah, not that I can't eat a lot, obviously, but as in like I would struggle with the anything that's like fishy, like when they eat like a fish eye and stuff.
Yeah, not into that.
I would. But either way, what do you think I'd be better on? Okay, that.
Yeah.
So I'm a Celebrity.
Yeah.
Strictly Come Dancing.
Okay.
Celebrity Big Brother.
I had it in the jungle.
Okay.
I do. I think you'd be good.
It's only 3 weeks.
You'd be good
well.
At collecting the wood. You'd be good at bringing the campfire logs down. I think you'd be good at that. You'd like doing that, get out a bit.
I wouldn't like to enter the toilet and stuff like
that. The dunny. No.
I'd be competitive.
Yeah, I think you'd win a few stars.
My challenge, I think, because again, I'm that, to most viewers, like that bloody weird golf YouTuber, I'd never get voted to do a challenge.
No, you'd be inoffensive. But you know what I could definitely see you doing? Like, I'd imagine there'd be like some B-roll footage of like what's going on the day before when Ant and Dec introduce it. I imagine you giving golf tips to the Twig.
Yeah.
So like,
I think Ant and Dec would like me.
Yeah, probably would.
To be honest, let truth be told, they're not really in the jungle, are they? Be honest.
It's always a big set.
Like, they probably do a little couple of hours. Oh, we've got to film that bit. Oh, let's film that bit. We've got to get some bloody bongo dingo dollars or whatever they're called and do all that jazz. I reckon I could probably just sneak off and play golf with Ant and Dec.
Yeah. Well, it's like when people still think that our videos are done on a golf course. There's a massive Saturday Truman show at the back of here. We put the wind on, put the wind up to 6. And it's all scripted. It's like, Rick, you've got a simple chip. You would chip close, fat it for
context.
Yeah, exactly. Last one, Sorry more. Any more on
no,
jungle?
That's it. That's
you
it.
Yeah, okay, in. If anyone's listening from ITV,
get me in next year. I would probably do it. I think that's why they don't get many big name YouTubers, though. I don't think they pay enough.
No, that's true. Michael Knight has said, do you think joining fees should be scrapped from golf clubs, especially when the cost of clubs and accessories and your membership on top of that? Do we really need joining fees? The answer is, if a golf club has a joining fee and people are paying it,
it means they stop. It means they're busy. Do you know what I mean? If there is a joining fee, it's typically because they don't need more members.
Yeah, I get it. From a consumer's point of view, if you want to join a nice golf club and you find there's a £2,000 joining fee, it's disheartening, it's expensive, it might put some people off. But ultimately, all these places are businesses. They want to make money and not lose money. And if people are actually paying and it's not turning people off, then it's unfortunately, it is worth it for them.
There's plenty of places that don't have joining
absolutely.
Fees.
And on that, do you think, say, joining fee was £2,000 and then the fee every year was £1,000, £1,500. I suppose being a member of a golf club offers a lot, but would you not be better for some people getting a England golf handicap and just using that money to come play courses all over the place?
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. It's an idea. Don't hold me to it, but okay.
Last one.
One
more for fun.
I haven't said any more, but I'll ask you one from me. This is from Guy Charnock.
I'm surprised you didn't say Guy. I don't know how to pronounce his surname.
You're not a French now. What position are you going to play at football tonight? How many goals are you going to score? And on a subtopic, when did you last have an alcoholic drink?
So I'll answer the drink one first.
Yep.
I've not had a drink, not a single alcoholic beverage since the live podcast 5 weeks ago.
Wow. We had 6 weeks worth of drink in the podcast. Exactly, yeah.
So I wasn't going to drink the live podcast. I ended up drinking. I've not then had a drink
since.
So
one more week, you'd be neutral from the podcast.
Yeah. it's been interesting, really, not drinking. Last week I was in Turkey. We haven't even talked about Turkey and night golf.
We meant to. It was on the thing, but maybe a bonus.
Turkey night golf was really, really, really,
video's
really good.
Soon.
Night golf in general is fantastic. If you ever get a chance to do it, amazing. Golf in Turkey is phenomenal.
And your
phenomenal.
Teeth and your hairline's looking phenomenal since you got back.
I wish. I didn't go to Istanbul. That next time. So yeah, that was really cool. But even going out to Turkey, I only spent 3 days there. I had a dinner party this weekend with neighbours and literally I've not touched an alcohol. I actually had 0.00 Peroni this weekend.
Nice, good stuff.
Lost quite a bit of weight, feel a bit better.
I saw some comments and you're looking trim.
My only challenge is, thank you, I don't know when I'm going to now start drinking again.
The challenge being?
I want to. No, I don't want to. I don't envision a future where I don't drink ever.
You know what you hear a lot of people say? I was reading up on this the other day on video, just interested because of your little kind of journey you're going on, is that some people do what you're doing and then go, okay, well, it's been 6 weeks, it's been 7 weeks, I'm going to have a drink now. Have a drink and actually don't massively enjoy it. And then almost weirdly then either find it easier to balance or just don't really bother with it.
Yeah. I at the moment, I'm almost enjoying the challenge of like, getting through each week.
Well, once you've got like, sounds weird, but 5 weeks almost built up, it's quite a lot. Like saying if it's been 2 days or 3 days was like here or there, but now it's 5 weeks. It's almost like every day adds on to that.
Yeah, it's like this weekend, I went to this house party with all intentions of not drinking. And I got there and everyone was drinking. And for a split second, I thought, just sack it off. And I thought, no, because that's been 5 weeks. I don't want to just sack it off when it's been 5 weeks.
Did you look down your nose at them and tell them they're negative to drinking?
No, not at all. I was jealous. I was still jealous. I was watching them going, that wine looks nice. That, but not in a like a, I need that wine. Just like going, we're having nice food. It's nice chat. We're having a lovely civilized dinner. There's about eight of us around the table. And I was like, yeah, I could do a little wine. And then a really beautiful jug of port got passed round. And I was like, oh yeah, I could have a little bit of that. But then the next day I felt fine. I'd like a weird 20 minute hangover as soon as I woke up, which couldn't have been a hangover because obviously I wasn't drinking.
Definitely.
And then yet my wife had drank and she was feeling a bit groggy all day. And after that first 20 minutes, I was like, fresh in the daisy. So yeah, I don't know when it's going to end. We've got our staff due in the middle of December, which I'm definitely keen on getting involved and getting stuck in and drinking on that. But if I can get to that, I'd be really, really happy.
Yeah, that'd be really good.
Football wise, I'm excited about tonight. This is the fifth or sixth week of football as well in a row. I've seen gradual improvements in my game. Mm-hmm. And I feel like at the moment, my main position is I like being a winger.
Yeah. You're more left-sided.
I'm left and right, but yeah. I do like sitting on the left. I like cutting in on my right. And also, I'm a terrible defender. Like,
you
really,
don't run back.
I do a lot of running, but I just struggle to tackle. So sometimes I'm running back and going, well, what's the point of me running back? Because I can't tackle anyway.
Well, you know that if you tackle anybody and hurt them, you've got a lawsuit on your hands.
And I don't want to get hurt.
No.
So I don't want to get, I don't want to
yeah, so,
get stuck in.
So we played tag tackles, don't we? Played tag.
If you touch someone on the shoulder three times,
it was
you
weird
get the
last week when we forgot the ball. We just played tag for an hour, didn't we? It was fun though.
So yeah, it's football left wing, cutting on the right. And without further ado, we need to get to football. Thanks for listening, everybody. Again, get involved with the One Club. And also, when you fill out the form just down at the bottom, there is a little tick box about being informed by Rick Shields and the team, whether you want your email, being involved in our database. It's worth it. Click that box because we're going to be releasing some incredible items and trinkets and all sorts of crazy
very
stuff
soon.
So get involved in that so you don't miss out on anything. Thank you very much, guys. It was a fantastic podcast. Well done.
Thank you.
Good game. And again, join the One Club, get involved, and you could be teeing up at Royal Troon 2024. Peace, everyone, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.